It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer, so let's bring her out. The star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Hey everybody, welcome to Kill Me Now. I'm your host, Judy Gold. I'm very excited, Today's gonna be a great day. You know, I have a lot of comedians on. Our guest today is not only a comedian, she's an actor. Mm-hmm. She is a performance artist.
Right?
She is a sketch comedy artist.
That's right.
Writer.
That's right.
Yeah.
What?
She's really, I mean, I can't even believe she's on the fucking podcast. Who knew? I got TV stars on the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Mary Lynn Reitzab. Woo! Not Jewish, but I rang the bell anyway because
I want to be Jewish.
Yeah, because, you know, you're Czech and Polish, and Czech and Polish and Hungarian.
Oh, shit.
So what is your food situation? Like, do you, because we, all my food from my family is all Eastern European, but it was kosher. So we didn't like we'd have chicken paprikash, but it had no cream in it. Like everything was kosher.
I don't even know what that is.
Okay, that's Hungarian. Okay, so
I don't know why I'm trying to make an excuse for why I was not introduced to any food. I think my Polish grandma, she had frozen gwumpkis. That's what she called them. They were just the dumpling with sauerkraut.
Yeah. Oh my God. So I can't.
Really good.
They're pierogies.
And they and I remember having that and like a little glass of milk in a plastic cup with an elephant on it and some store-bought cookies. And that's about the extent of
on the dumpling.
Culinary. Yes.
Yeah. Was there like a sauce?
Nothing.
Okay. No.
Just pan fried brown. No, that's what I'm saying. I don't even know.
I still make all this food because
I want all of it and I'm upset right now. I feel jealous.
It's gonna happen. What about stuffed cabbage? Stuffed cabbage?
Yes, we did have stuffed cabbage. And my grandma did not make that. My cousins made that, I think, in an homage to
okay. What did you put in?
Thank you for saying that, because that was going to be my question, because I think there's like so many different versions, right? This one is a cooked cabbage with hamburger and rice. Maybe something more exciting, rice and a tomato sauce.
Oh, you did tomato. So we did and I made it all through the fucking pandemic. So we did cabbage. It's beef and rice, right? And then my mother had many recipes. So there was the red tomato sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Boring. There was.
I knew you were going to one up on this.
Yeah. Red, sweet and sour red cabbage. Oh my God. Fucking fuck shit fuck over egg noodles. Okay.
What does that mean though? Just a different sauce
it's
fermented?
Red cabbage. It's red cabbage.
Oh, okay.
A little bit of tomato paste. Oh my God. So good. Okay. And it's sweet and sour. And then the other one she did was sauerkraut, which was really good. I love sauerkraut.
I do too. I never have it. I would have it once a year at Thanksgiving. And so I did have the three things. I had pierogies, not from my grandma, but then the cousins would make the pigs in a blanket. It was just stuffed cabbage. It was the same thing. And then they would get kielbasa in sauerkraut.
Yeah, see, that we didn't do because it wasn't kosher.
That's right. Ring that bell.
Motherfucker, you mother. Anyway, okay. So let's go back. to your lovely, you grew up in Trenton, Michigan.
Look at you with your research.
I do research, even though I don't dry my hair. Okay. So, but you were born in Detroit, grew up in Trenton. And I love the name Trenton because I grew up in New Jersey and that is the capital of New Jersey. Okay.
Which really eclipses Trenton, Michigan in all ways, shapes, and forms.
Yeah. I mean, it's so awful. My father actually worked in Trenton because he wrote the tax laws for the state of New Jersey. He was he was a tax attorney. And so he would write those books, you know, and he would corrected the CPA exams as well. And the bar exam. So, but he was pretty smart. But anyway.
Does that mean you have money growing up with that kind of? Okay.
He worked for the state.
Right.
And then he was such a good guy. Like he would do other people's taxes. You know, if you were poor. One of his friends, when he died actually on August 1st, it'll be 30 years. Woo.
And shit.
I know. We're at his funeral and there's this other couple.
The funeral gets a ding.
I know. Well, it was a Jewy funeral. And this friends from, you know, from New Jersey, I didn't know this, but one of his good friends was also a CPA and it was tax season and he had a massive heart attack, this guy, and he was like incapacitated. And apparently my father at night did all of his clients, saved his business and did all of his clients and wouldn't take any money. And I found out at the funeral that the reason we have this big color TV in our living room was because he bought us a huge color TV. Because first of all, we had a black and white TV.
Uh-huh.
Because my mother, they thought that that color TVs gave off radiation. So that was you're so young, you don't remember this when color TVs came out.
I do. I remember, I mean, we had a color TV, but I remember there was still a lot of black and white TV on there. I'm trying to remember if my parents still had a black and white. I don't.
Usually like the second TV was a black and white and the major TV was a color. But then I used to do a joke about how my mother wouldn't get us a color TV because it gave off radiation. Uh-huh. Thank God they invented the remote control because we could never get up from the couch to change the channel with those lead aprons on. Good night, folks. Bing bong, bing bong. Okay, so
I remember my mom had an 8-track with the Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I would play Jesus Christ Superstar on the piano. And my mother's like, Judith, what are you doing? You know, like it was just like, I'm like Jesus Christ. And I was in the Jewiest household. So your father was a pipe fitter.
Yes.
Your mother, a pharmacy assistant.
That's right.
Siblings. I couldn't find anything about siblings. Ooh, what's going on with that?
Two older sisters, 7 and 8 years older than me.
No, so you were a mistake.
Well, I got the guts to ask. My mom swears that I was not a mistake.
Don't you think you were?
Can I get a Jewish ding for that? Right. That was uncalled for.
Wait, no, it's fine.
I had to be, right?
Yeah. Unless they were having like prop, but that's so sweet. She said, no, you weren't.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the youngest of three too. My girlfriend, Elisa, is a therapist. She's very into birth order and she's the oldest of three girls and so fucking bossy. Like, who do you get along with better, the middle or the oldest?
The oldest.
Yeah. She gets
along. Is that correct? I don't feel like my oldest sister is bossy. She's very, she does have to take care of stuff.
Right.
She's closest with my mom right now in proximity and closest to my mom. And my mom has some health stuff and it is my sister, Kathy, who's doing all of that.
And what about the middle sister, mental?
She's in Arizona. She's good. She's a black sheep is too strong of a word, but she's the one that kind of peaced out before anybody. And I think that was held against her for many years, the fact that she left Trenton, Michigan.
My brother lives in Arizona. Are they? Oh, not just FYI. Mary Lynn is showing off. She's having her tea with her late night with Seth Meyers.
Oh my gosh, I've done stuff. Look at me.
Oh God, I haven't been on.
Everything's gonna be okay.
Yeah, that's so great. You're so popular. All right, so
I was on this show one time, and I talked about going to art school and performance art, and it was the fact that he was actively listening to that on a late night talk show. I was like, and another thing about performance art, it was now, like the most fun non-late night.
Like a great guy. I've done Colbert. And
I've not done Colbert.
I've done Leno a few times, but he doesn't have a show anymore. And I had to follow John McCain.
On Leno?
I had to follow John McCain on Leno. He had just made some like controversial statement. And this was like his sort of apology, late night, you know, it was all political. And then it's like, here's your tall lesbian Jew.
She had to come up and clean up. How did you start? How'd you open?
They were not into me. I don't even remember. I just know that it was not an easy set. It was not.
Was it like he was on and people were done or they were.
But you know how, like when you do stand up, the person who goes on before you, or like, this is the other thing,
they
like
took MC, up all the space,
right? And MCs are so important, even though they get paid shit and people treat them like shit, but they really do set the tone and have to clean up and set the stage. But it was like, you know, it wasn't a fun segment he's having with Jay Leno. It's a serious,
right?
And then it's like,
to bring it back up,
and it's also, I'm not a white guy, like, who's going to do, like, white guy material. You know what I mean? I'm not like him. I'm not someone who's going to make John McCain fans laugh. Anyway.
Oh, that's interesting. So at least if you had been a white guy comedian, that would have been still a step to go to comedy.
Right. It would have been like, oh, okay, yeah.
To make.
It's like, wait, we have to now shift to comedy, but then we have to shift because she's a woman.
Yeah,
and she's
too many shifts.
Can't do it. Okay, so
by the way, isn't that Jay Leno's job to change the energy?
I always felt like, you know, I never got on Letterman. I never did Letterman. He had very few women on, and the women he had on were very cerebral and non-threatening. But that I always felt would be my show because I'm a New Yorker. Like, when you're a New Yorker and you're like Jay Leno is like Fallon. It's like this clean, milk toasty, not edgy, like, you know, karaoke, you know, just, I don't know.
Hey everyone, did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States? And I'm one of them. You're listening to one of them. Fast Growing Trees has everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, house plants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and your space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. I just want you to know that I just got off a plane and I walked in my apartment. What was the first thing I did? Is I came in and said hi to Avi, my fig tree. I'm telling you, and I have Yael, which is another plant, but Fast Growing Trees has changed my atmosphere here in my apartment. You don't need a lot of space, but they do have, you know, they have stuff for outdoor spaces. But I live in an apartment, and I'm telling you, Avi and Yael, yes, they're both Jewish names, Hebrew. The space looks so much better, and I just had a conversation with Avi. Like, I was like, I missed you. I love having living things here. It's very, very, I don't know, it's made this more of a home. It's the best, and Elisa has some too, and she loves them, and she talks to them too, but she got that from me. Anyway, check out Fast Growing Trees. you need to be around plant life. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. You're welcome.
Now, I don't know. Were you popular growing? Were you a popular kid?
I was fine. I was like an odd. I just kind of got by without being one thing or the other. And I just kind of like bided my time. I was sort of nerdy, sort of. I just was like real camouflage-y. Yeah. My standoffishness came off more as I got older. I was not able to like chill out and hang.
Right.
But I got through it in high school by being like a theater and just like kind of an odd.
I think we would have been friends.
I shapeshifted to just get by.
What was Trenton like? What were the demographics? Was it blue collar, white
collar? Real white, real blue collar, but like classy blue collar.
Right. A lot of Polish immigrants or no?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
A lot of Catholic. I never met a Jewish person that's not true. My mom's boss was Jewish.
Shocking.
Who owned the drugstore, the pharmacy. He was a pharmacist.
Yes.
And he was the only Jewish person, and that was just an anomaly. He was another thing. It wasn't like a Jewish person. It's like, that's my mom's boss. That's
right.
Him. Like, it just was separate. I never associated, like, knew it was a thing.
Did they ever talk about, did they ever say, really? Thank God. Because, you know, the Polish hated us. They killed more Jews than the Germans.
Past me. And I don't have any real family stories. It's kind of similar to the food. She would just take it out of the freezer and she knew a couple Polish phrases, but
American. You were American.
Yeah. I would say the Catholicism was a big,
did you go to church factor. All the time?
Yeah, but I never understood it. I never got it.
Did you go to confession?
No. I started to talk about this in my stand-up a little bit, which was we went to church and then my grandma died and we didn't have to go to church anymore. So I'm just wondering if like, am I still Catholic? Like
Right.
I did the one where you're like the little one in the virginal white and you drink the blood, but I never did the confessional. And my biggest education was Jesus Christ Superstar. Like I never understood what anyone was talking about until I watched that when I was in high school. I was like, now I understand the story of Jesus. Thank you.
Right.
What's his name? Ted Neely. My temple should be a house of prayer. I'm like, I get it now.
You and I both played clarinet in the band.
I didn't play clarinet, though.
It says it in the fucking fuck.
They lie.
It's too...
I played flute. Now we hate each other again.
I fucking hate you. The flautist.
Now we're back to the Jewish patron.
Here's the thing.
The flautist.
They...
I was terrible.
Okay, but here's the thing.
You're a real musician.
Well, the clarinetists were... the biggest nerds. I mean, first of all, it's so unattractive. Like you're like, you have this thing in your fucking mouth, you have buck teeth. It's like fucking the worst. But the flutist, whatever.
Did you have braces?
No. I never had braces. Did you?
No.
The flutists were all like femme, girly girl. Like that was the girly girl instrument.
Yes. Yeah, like the glamorous band.
Right.
Like I did not fit into that. I definitely...
Were you good?
I aspired to be the girly girl. I had a few moments where I tried to be that. And I look back on my 20s, I'm like, you were hot. Like, what's your problem? If you really like have such self-loathing and like, no.
Right, but you wouldn't be who you are if you didn't have
No, I know. I tried for a hot moment to do like... not modeling, but like some kind of girls, I don't know, like a competition for looks or something.
You did?
Yeah, for like a moment. It was the most.
How old were you?
Probably like, I think I was searching. I was probably like 12 or 13. And I was like desperate for something to like fit into. It was the most like horrific thing I've ever.
Oh, it was like a beauty pageant?
I think so. And this is like a repressed memory.
Wow.
I remember it was like a low grade. Yes, it was a beauty pageant. It was like, bring a pair of white shorts. You know, it was that type of thing.
Right.
They give you a t-shirt and you, it was, I don't know. It was like torture.
Oh,
but I thought that it would be like a validating. I think I was always looking to be validated.
Right.
But I was not, like I was in the theater in high school and I was mad, but I did have ambition, you know, like I thought, well, why didn't I get the part of Sandy? Like, what?
Right.
And then I would get the part of Frenchie and I got lectured by the teacher, like, you're one of the top five parts. And I couldn't really sing. So I was like, who do I think I am?
You know, it's so interesting because I wanted, like, you are in many ways, and even as you go on with your career, this will come out, but you're like, if you're going to go in a nerd way, in an artsy way, you're in the cool. You're in the cool section. You know what I mean? Like I was marching band, fucking choir, like just the fucking worst. And I really wanted to be in the theater, but they kept saying I was too tall. It was fucking sucked. They told me I was too tall.
Gross.
I know. In seventh grade, I tried out for the basketball team. Wayne Carrick said I was too tall and it wouldn't be fair to the other players.
What?
Yes. And by the way,
what are you supposed to be doing? You're a mob tube. That you're like, yes, that's my free pass. That's why I get to be on the team. That's why we win. Asshole.
And my son is now playing basketball for Tulane. He's a Division I.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, nothing. Okay. From Wayne fucking Carrick. Anyway.
That's crazy.
Isn't it? And you never forget that shit. So you had like a normal high school experience?
Yeah.
Like, I did not. So that's why I'm always fascinated by. So you didn't wake up every morning going, oh my God, I can't take anymore. I can't believe I have to go there.
I wasn't like bullied or anything. It was just like a low hum of pain. It was like a dull pain. It was like I was waiting to get to the next part of
it. Right, to get out. You were doing your time.
Yeah, I was not, it was like a quiet torture. Like probably not justified. I was not, that's why I say I got by with just like not too many horrifying moments.
Okay, so you then go.
In any way was I easygoing or felt comfortable around anybody.
Like,
ever.
What did you write under your high school picture? In the yearbook.
I don't even know. That's the other thing. I just forget things. I like black it out.
I do.
I think too. I got voted like. I think I was a weirdo, but like a fun-loving weirdo. Like
Did you go to the prom? Did you go to the prom?
I did. I went to the prom with a guy who was gay and then another guy. Yes, I did. I went to the
junior
prom.
And senior?
I believe so.
Not me.
And now I'm realizing I had a theme of trying to be a glamorous woman because one time I had long white gloves and I was so not that girl. I was like the art school was like, that was the first moment where I was like, finally, I'm me. And then when I moved to LA and was around like comedians, I was like, oh, now I'm really me. Even though I didn't really fit into that either.
Right. So you were artistic in high school. Like, all right.
Yes.
So you, did you?
That was the only thing I could understand was like the theater.
That was like.
Nothing else made any sense to me.
Same with music with me. I don't know. Did you go to college in Detroit and then go to the San Francisco Institute of Art?
I went to art school in Detroit.
And did you commute?
Yes.
Ugh.
I commuted in my parents' Chevy Sprint.
Oh.
And took all my foundation classes in Detroit, all my design classes. And it was completely eye-opening, like mind-blowing. like just to have a teacher go, see this, an artist created that. Like I had never gotten, it was never spoken to like that. Never saw the world in terms of like, what's a sculpture? Yeah. So right. That, I love that. The fact that there were people that paid attention to that and it was a real thing that you could focus on was awesome.
Yeah. Cause it made it valid. Like,
yeah. And I thought, oh, maybe I could be an artist. Cause he was like, you know, you have to, do you have what it takes to live the artist life? And I would be like, I hope I do that. Like, that's what I want to do. Like, and the only reason I went there is because I wasn't good enough to get into college. And I just didn't know anything. I was like, what? You're supposed right. to like, my friend was in U of M. My other friend was wherever. And I was like, well, I don't want to get a job. So I guess right. I'll go to art school.
Did your sisters go to college?
My one sister went in Arizona, Sue, went to business college. I remember like a 2-year business college. And then my other sister got a job at a credit union. And that was a big deal because that was like a good job.
Right, right, right.
And she didn't go to school. She just got a good job.
Wow. So
McDonald's was a real job in our family.
Right.
The guy that my sister married, it was like he became a manager at McDonald's. Like everyone did a stint. I never did a stint at McDonald's.
Right.
But that was a real thing, like a good solid.
Right. Wow. That's so. Ooh. Yeah. But that doesn't happen anymore. Like no. If you get a job at McDonald's now, it's like you're just a piece of shit, you know? That it's
yeah.
awful, but that's the way America should be. You should be.
I like your take on that. You're right.
That's the way it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
That it's something with dignity that you can
right.
count on, that you
right.
pay
okay.
your bills, you can
you're
take, have a little pride. Yes.
Right. And you should be able to make a living. You work really hard.
Yeah.
And
you
that's
can move.
It.
There's somewhere to move up in the
right.
company.
Right.
You have something you can count on.
Right. So, and now we're just fucking assholes. So, you then go to the San Francisco Art Institute. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. And how did you go? So you're in this family that's not like, you know, into going, you know, for graduate school or college
no.
or anything like that. How did you make the transfer?
I had a friend who, by the way, I thought she was going to tell me she had cancer one day because her dad paid for her to have an apartment on the, you know, I commuted. I would go over and have like tuna melts that she would make in the oven with
I
a slice.
I love tuna melts.
Well, on an English muffin.
Oh my God. What kind of cheese?
The Kraft. It was Kraft.
Oh, that's so not Jewish.
I know.
I did. Hard. I started out with Munster and then I moved to Swiss, but yeah. But not an English muffin.
That sounds really good right now.
Yeah. With avocado and tomato. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Maybe a little sprout. Put a little sprouts on there. I don't know. I'm getting crazy. So I was having lunch over there and she was like, I have something to tell you. I thought she was going to tell me she was going to die. And she's like, I'm bisexual. So that girl, she found out that you could go for a semester, like a sister school thing. And she was like, I'm going to San Francisco. You can do it through our school. And I just like lost my mind. Something inside of me was like, oh, I have to do that. And it was too late to sign up for it. I just was like, something inside was like, I was almost angry. I was just like, well, I'm going to, it was in no way she was mentioning it in passing. And I just glommed onto that plan.
Right.
I don't know how I did it. I talked them into letting me do it. It was already closed. Like we're not taking anymore. And I
right.
was like, no, I have to go. And I just never came back.
Well, I love that there's a tune involved with the bisexuality. That's appropriate.
It's all connected.
I know. So did you go and live in her apartment in San Francisco with her?
Yes. Dad got her a car, got her an apartment. I went there. I remember she would always be like, I'm doing this meditation and I bought these beads and we got this apartment together. And I'd be like, I don't know. I don't have a job. Like, I don't know. Cause I felt so safe because her dad got the apartment, but I was like,
right.
I can't pay for this.
Right, right, right.
She'd be like, everything's going to be okay. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I would go to try to wait tables, but it was such a, like the culture was all kids our age and they,
right.
they just like I just would walk in and walk back out like there's
right.
no way you're getting a job waiting tables here
right.
like it just doesn't exist. And so I finally got like a minimum wage job. I eventually had to move out from her because I met people. I was like, oh, you get a room in a place. You don't get,
right.
you know, like her thing was like four floors up. We each had our own bedroom. We shared the 2-bedroom apartment, you know. And I was like, oh no, you have to like share shit and find right. something for less money.
Right.
I feel wow. like it went, I went from 375.
What is she doing now?
I don't know. I stopped talking to
her. Is she a lesbian or a bi?
She dated some men, but she ended up with women. The last time I saw her, she had had a string of butch, very butch women. And like sort of would boss her around. I mean, is that the definition of butch?
Well, but...
I mean, you could be butch in looks, but be really soft, right?
Right. She's yeah, there's like, soft butch, and then there's butch. And, but it's like, you know.
Domineering, I think.
Yeah. So Elisa, my lover, says that, you know, and this is true. People who are in same-sex relationships and have like role, like specific roles, like one is like butchy butch domineering.
Yes.
They have better relationships than like both of us. Cause we're both like, no, I need to put on my makeup and,
oh,
you know, yeah.
That makes
so,
sense. Cause you get into like a soup of like,
right. Right.
Like not like a definitive, see, like, no, I'm making the call of like, I'm
right.
driving.
No, I'm taking care. Stuff. I'm going to pack up the car. You get the lunch ready and all. But it's like, it's weird because once I had kids and then I was hanging around with so many heteros and I would see these women and like, I'm talking about a lot of them were like PhDs and, you know, really, you know, doctors and MBAs, you know, like very successful women who'd be like, yeah, no, I'm going to go. Like they still took on that role of like, oh, he's working or, oh, I'm going to. And I was like, and I would get so fucking pissed off. Like, why does he get away with that? Why does he get to go on the thing? Why does, and because I grew up, my parents were much older. Like my father would be 104 and my mother would be.
Whoa.
98, maybe 98. All right. Anyway, 22, 16 and 22, they were born. But, you know, it's like my brother is the oldest and he, you know, firstborn male in a Jewish family. And he was treated like, you know, here he comes. He is perfect. Everything he did. And so like, I guess when I would see all these hetero couples, and the wife, like, you know, and it's like, you work too. And I don't understand that whole, like, oh, because he's a guy, he gets to play poker until 3 a.m. and you'll get up early on the set. You know what I mean?
I have a girlfriend who, and my son, he's graduating out for the sixth grade so, at another school, but a private progressive started by communist artists. Like, we talk about everything. A lot of the most of the men there are super respectful, but you have to go cook the lunch. And my girlfriend was like, and her husband is not that dude. Like, he's not right. a macho guy, but she goes, right. when he shows up to do the things that all these things they ask us to do, all the women are like, that's so great. And she's like, No. We're supposed to split the thing. Like, right. why do you guys turn into? That's reminding me of like right. the prince. Oh, the prince is here. Like,
God, I can't believe
he's not asking for it. He's not acting like that.
Right,
it's just this mechanism of like, oh, the dad's here.
That's so annoying to me, especially as a same-sex parent. You know, where it was so, you know, equal in a way. It's just, it fucking pisses me off. But I guess people, I don't know, people like, all right.
You mean when you see other people doing that and you're like, why is this an automatic behavior?
Yes.
Yeah.
And why does he get points for doing something he should be doing? Do right. you know what I mean? Like, I see it all the time. Like, they just get a break. They get, oh, he's a guy. He needs his guy time. You know, it's like... No, you have kids. You're 50 fucking 50.
Yeah.
I've become such a fucking hardened cunty feminist. Like, it's gotten worse. It's gotten and I have two straight male sons. And so it's really, I don't know. I'm turning into that. Like, I'm not like, I mean, I am a lesbian, but I'm not turning into the, oh, I hate men, fuck men. But I do.
Right. Like on watch when you see things happening.
I was just like, no, you don't get to get away with that because you're a fucking white guy. All right. you leave the bisexual.
Yes.
And you move into another place. Is this what happens? And then do you graduate? Like what?
I probably had three other places. I roommates. I started living on the fringe. I was going to school, but that school wasn't as sweet as Detroit was. In San Francisco, there was this thing where they had like a performance art swept through San Francisco.
I love this. I've heard you talk about this before.
71, 72 yeah. or whatever. The history of performance art kind of was pervasive in San Francisco, just in the walls of the school. So
right.
when I arrived there, I absolutely was so turned on by the city and all the people I met. But the school itself, by the way, stunning campus, like gorgeous, old
building. It is. It's beautiful. Yeah.
But everyone there was like, I'm an artist. And there was right. a lot of the, you would go to the drawing classes and they would just be totally stale. And like, you could feel it like boring. Oh, we're going to draw the shadows now, because people had moved on in their thinking to more conceptual stuff. So a lot right. of these classes, you would have a performance art class. It was just like whacked out.
Okay.
You would have a conceptual art class, but it also made people a way to get ahead, at least from my point of view, was like, you had to be like this ego driven because you're just talking. There's no aesthetic. It's your personality and how you can talk people into what the art is, because the
right.
performance art is like, there's no materials anymore. So it's just whatever you decide your concept is that you're
right.
going to convince people.
Okay. You have to tell everyone. There were some things that I heard you speak about in your performance art class. One guy.
It's my favorite. You gonna say the bread? Oh, that guy. Yeah.
Oh, wait, do the bread.
Okay. Well, both of them, this is the first time I was really.
And the obese girl. And the obese girl.
Yeah. All of them are great. So
all right, go ahead.
I hadn't been around gay culture very much. In San Francisco, it was a crash course and that was like awesome. I loved it. But this dude, we come in, he's got a little light set up. His piece, first of all, he's got a mirror. He's looking at himself. He's putting on red lipstick.
Yeah.
And then he tapes his penis to the side. But like, that was his piece. We were watching him take his man stuff away. And I had never, you know, he's like 2 feet away from me. We're all sitting on the floor. And then another guy.
We have to go back. You're sitting on the floor. I have to be there. You're sitting
yes.
on the floor. He walked there. And the teacher is like, John.
Yeah.
And well, John goes.
I think we leave the room so he can set the stage. Cause some of them are more theatrical than others.
Okay.
And some of them are more sculptural. So I think John says, can you guys all leave the room? I need like a couple minutes to set up. So
okay.
then when we come in, he set the stage. He's got his little light and all of it. You can see like a hairbrush or some
right.
duct tape. And so it's very gentle and very slow. And it's like a piece of theater. And you're like,
right.
oh, you're intrigued, culminating in the taping of the penis and the pubic hair with duct tape to the side of his leg.
Yeah.
My memory is hazy. I mean, I want to imagine
was
that he took the piece off and put on him some
right.
nice outfit. He must
was
have
it hairy? Was
yes. Yes. Her thing was hairy. He was very hirsute. Is that the word? Because he had
hirsute,
a lot
yeah.
of stubble.
Oh.
And was
and
pretty,
do you know
very
what
manly.
He got as a grade for that?
Unclear.
Okay.
Unclear what anyone's
okay.
grades were.
That is fucking hilarious. Okay.
Opposite style of guy. This guy's tall. I want to say he's Canadian. I might be making that up. He's
right.
very male, white, tall. And he's like very intellectual. And he's like, okay, guys, again, leave the room. I'm going to prepare. He's got two bread makers.
Right.
We're outside for a long ass time. He's baking bread. We're waiting outside. We're out there for like 45
minutes. Wait, so this is him setting up.
Yeah. He's like, the piece is starting now. Like, leave the room. He's not doing a theatrical setup. We're more inside of the piece.
Okay.
You're part of the piece, but the piece begins when you're waiting outside. I'm in the studio. It was kind of like a black box studio, but it was all painted white. That was where so it was a big
right.
open space. You could do anything with like tables along the side.
Right.
So we come in, he's got two bread makers. He starts cutting up fresh, quite honestly, I'm starving. You're a student. I'm like, warm homemade bread.
Right,
yes, please.
Smell it. Right. Yeah,
we're
yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's giving, doling out the bread, one from one machine, one from the other. We're eating. We get, he goes, okay, well, that machine, I took plaster from the wall and put it in the bread. And so half of you have eaten plaster from the wall. And this piece is about communism. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why.
And that was it. So did some people eat plaster? He did,
yes.
Did he tell them after they ate it?
Yes. Like midway through. Yeah, some of you guys are eating plaster.
Okay, and that is fucking...
You're an asshole, right? He's an asshole.
What did he get? What did he get for a grade?
He got an A+, of course.
Okay, next one.
Next one, this lady... obese woman. She's prepped without us, which was nice. We didn't have to wait for her prep.
Okay, I need you to know how obese, like
legit, like where you would look at her and go, if that type where it just goes way off her body,
yeah,
and
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
She maybe it's like almost hurting her a little bit.
Oh,
she's like running
okay.
into stuff. Like not just like
right
to the point where you're like, where you have a little bit of pause when you see her, like,
right, okay.
Does she have problems getting through her everyday
right.
life?
Okay.
Really sweet, really sensitive, long, thin hair. I'm getting a Mama Cass vibe from her.
Wow. Okay.
Liked her, emotional, intellectual. She's pre-set up, not in the classroom. She's in a hallway. And we get there and it's butter pats set up like dominoes all the way down. And the piece, this, I think this is legit a good performance art piece.
Okay.
Cool. I'm going to give her an A. Painful, pointed, clear. She's crawling and picking up. She wasn't eating. I don't think, God, my freaking memory. What if she, there's no way she's, it's, it wasn't an, she was, it was just her picking up the butter pats.
Right, right, right.
Slowly and painfully. One after the other. That was the piece.
Wow. I like that.
That's
one.
A good one, right?
Yeah, that is a good one.
Because like,
wow. And it's so, I feel like it's brave.
Yeah, I do too.
All right. Do you remember what you did in the class?
Mine were wacky. One of them I finally did get a job. I'm going to tell you three. One of them, I finally did get a job at Double Rainbow Ice Cream. I didn't have any, my piece planned. I was like, oh, I have a piece for the next morning. Oh, I forgot. Stole a tub of ice cream. This is the worst piece. This is such a bad, it was there. It's like a non-idea. And the piece was about traveling on the train to the class and how much the ice cream had melted and eating the ice cream. That's a bad piece. That was just about me
it's
stealing
better than
ice cream.
Fucking, you know, taping your balls to your leg. All
thank
right.
you. Another one, I created like a cardboard enclosure and I was inside and it was like an abstract theater piece. And I was like acting like I was a pirate and I was cutting off people's heads and throwing them outside the cardboard structure. Another one that was simple, but I think tells you where I'm really at is a podium that I made out of cardboard, a hanger that was supposed to be a pointer, a bunch of papers. It was kind of, that was an art piece in itself because it's taped together and it's interesting right. looking and it was sort of kept flopping over. So it really was just a physical comedy where I was trying to get my speech together. It was like acting out of a stress dream, but in the form of physical comedy. And people definitely knew when I was doing a piece, they would line up in seats to watch. It was very performer viewer oriented. And I was just a flustered conductor or speaker
right.
that couldn't get my speech out. And that was the piece. And that's probably one of my favorite ones, even though there's not much to it because it's indicative
right.
of where I was going.
Right. Right. So first of all, did you graduate? Did you?
Well, I don't know. I think that I did. I never received, I think I was like a class or two short.
Right.
I was this thing that was so magical for me. I got very disillusioned by the end and the performance art was kind of a part of that because I didn't know
right.
what I was doing and I didn't know
right.
what I was supposed to do. And I was like, I don't understand. I'm supposed to make objects and then use my ego to like get them sold. I had no clue.
Right. Cause there's the business element of it. It's like, yes, you can be creative, but now you have to market it or you have, people have to want it. And it's like,
yes.
Then is it really art or is it a product? You know what I mean?
Yes, 1,000%. That's
yeah.
exactly what I'm talking about. So between
yeah.
that and the the practicality of it, and then the emotional disillusionment with like, why am I, what is this? But the positive thing that was happening is I was going to like all these open mic nights, and that's where I was like coming alive, because I was doing, I was like, I'm doing my art, but like at open mic poetry night.
Do you feel like I was wondering, like, if you felt like when you were doing the performance art in the class, did you get the same feeling of being on stage that
yes.
you got? You did.
Yes.
You did.
Absolutely. Okay. Oh, and people would laugh at me and I didn't know why they were laughing.
Right.
It was like this very watery way to find my way, because I wasn't, as a person, I couldn't relate to comics, because I was like, I'm not a dude who's like, here's what I think about things.
I didn't know
what I thought about things. What I would do at these poetry nights was, I didn't know my own mind or my own heart, or I didn't feel like I had a voice. Or
how old were you?
Old enough to be
like
I just was like, am I a person? Like, so damaged.
Right.
I would do like phrases and randomly read them together, you know, like that. There's a name.
I feel like that's all right. Like, I've heard you talk about, you know, that you entered into comedy through the alt comedy venues. But I feel like that's such a natural way for you to enter. But then it's like the same thing you were saying about like art school. It becomes disillusioning because after a while they're like, okay, well, how are you going to make a living? Or how are you going to sell this? And so in the alt world, it was like, okay, everything has to be new. Like, I just had Beth Lapidus on, you know, and we were talking about like how I wanted to do On Cabaret so much, and she would never let me. I mean,
oh my God, I need to hear every detail of this, because you, to me, just your name, I didn't even really know what you were about, but you always had like legendary status, like in my brain. It was always like,
oh my God,
you were up on a pedestal of like,
I love you.
You were just sort of this icon, but I didn't even know like why, because I was so removed from everybody I hung out with was like, fuck comedy clubs. And that was like, I didn't really take the time to, you know, I never went to New York. I never went to like real, I never went to comedy clubs.
Right.
So I just like knew of you as like, oh, well, she's like made, you know, like you have like status as,
oh my God, I love you. You know, what was weird is that.
But so that's fascinating to me that you wanted to freaking get on there.
Well, I wanted to do it because my stand-up was never like regular stand. I was in the clubs, but I wasn't like anyone else. Like, I was telling stories and like screaming at the audience and telling them, I can't believe you're not fucking laughing at that joke. I was, you know, I was so in the moment, like, and I just couldn't, it's like, I didn't fit it. I feel like I got respect from all the guys in the comedy club because I just worked so hard. And, you know, like when On Cabaret started, and I would hear, it's so funny because you're hearing, you know, I'm in this fucking like club. I just want to be great. I just want to be a great comic. I'm a lesbian, so I didn't want to fuck any of the guys. Like, I had no interest. They were always like, hey, you know, I remember one guy was like, you know, I really enjoy doing cunnilingus. I'm like, okay, that's great. Like, they just would say shit like, oh, I'm going to be like, oh, okay, since I'm a lesbian, it doesn't matter who's doing the cunny, you know what I mean? Like, they used to say shit, they grab my boob, like, oh, and I listened to all this, but I didn't care. I just wanted to get on stage. And it wasn't like I was doing like this thing on Leno, when I was talking about Leno, it's like, if I did joke, I could have made it through that set fine. There was so much of my angst in my, you know, so.
Saying like, if you just did joke, you felt like you'd be hot, you wouldn't be able to be
not me. Yeah. It wasn't me. I'm like a fucking, you know, 9-year-old boy stuck in a gigantic lesbian's butt. Like, I'm like, what are you fucking not laughing? You know what I mean? It was just, so I remember when I did my HBO special, which was in 95. And it was your ex, David Cross, he did it, Marc Maron, Janine. And so all these people were doing like this alt comedy.
And wait, what is this? They did that version of the special or on
they
show?
Did. They it was called the HBO Half Hour Comedy.
Okay. Hour.
And so they were giving certain comics of in the mid 90s, you know, like you're getting a special, you're getting a special. You know, like the Netflix now.
Yeah.
Except they won't give me one because I'm too old. So they told me I don't fit the algorithm. Anyway. So, and they can fucking shove it up their fucking ass. Fuck. Anyway, so it's so funny when I hear you talking because all the comics in the clubs were like, oh, they're not really doing that. You know, like they hated the alt people.
Yeah.
And the alt people hated the comics in the clubs. And I was like, you know, sort of in the middle. There was so much I hated about the comedy clubs, but at that time it was like, I remember thinking, you know, all these alt people, when they had to audition, they had to do it in a comedy club. Like the industry went to comedy clubs and not to the alt, like, you know, so it was, and then I was like, then now that I think back and I'm talking.
But wouldn't they eat it in the comedy clubs?
You know, not all the time. And it's like, you know, like.
David Cross was a crossover. He came from the, so he knew how to.
Yeah, he knew how to work it. And I was like, I fit in with the old people. You know what I mean? Like, and they were like, oh, Judy's funny. It was always like, but Judy's funny.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It's like, she's one of them, but she's funny. And I was like, okay, then put me on the fucking thing.
Thank you so much for listening to part one of Kill Me Now with Mary Lynn Race Cub. How great is she? If you like the show, make sure to subscribe and leave a review. It helps more people find this amazing podcast. 5 stars only, please. Also, if you haven't ordered my book, yes, I can say that. When they come for the comedians, we're all in trouble. It is available anywhere you get books. There's an audiobook, there's a Kindle version. It is doing amazingly well, all because of you. And I can't thank you enough for your love and support. It would mean so much to me if you would go on Amazon and give me a 5-star review. Please, please, please. You know, I gotta feed the kids. They're big. Anyway, it really would mean the world to me if you would check it out. You can go to judygold.com and there's links. And you can buy the book anywhere you buy your books or take it out of the library, but then I don't get any money. Anyway, make sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram for all upcoming events I have. I'm also working in Provincetown if you're on the Cape at all this summer on Monday nights and Wednesday nights. You can follow me at Judy Gold, JEWDYGOLD, you know, like Jew Gold, because I'm a Jew. And I hope you're all safe. I hope you're all well. Enjoy the rest of the summer, and as we always say, so long!
Don't forget to tune in next week to Just Kill Me Now.
It's Just Kill Me.
Oh. Don't forget to turn... for part two on Just Kill Me...
No, it's not. It's just
Kill Me.
Now.
No, Judy Gold's Just Kill Me.
Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me Now.